It's the Radio City Legends Extra. Now, we've been choosing the all-time Liverpool-Everton team, but actually narrowing it down to players that are featured with both Sharpie and Aldo. So we've got a right-back in the team for both of them, and now we're going to go to the other side, to the left-back. Sharpie, let's start with you. Who's on the list?
The ones I played with when I first came down in the team, it was John Bailey. He was a great character, great lad. He was in the team for a while, you know, up and down, a fullback, good footballer. And then he got replaced by, but I would say he's probably the best I played with, Pat Vandenhout. Everybody called him Psycho. But it was more to his game than that. He was a decent player. He was tall. He was quick. He was athletic. He could also play in the centre as well. So he was probably everything he wanted as a left back. I said not many people got the better of him in terms of pace-wise. Good in the air. Again, he was here for a short time. I played a little bit with Hinchcliffe as well, who had a great delivery. But if you're picking one out, Steve, it's hard. Didn't play with many left-backs, but probably the most success came was with Vandenhout. So Pat Vandenhout for me.
All right, it's Pat. It's Psycho. Put forward as one contender. On the Liverpool front, John?
Yeah, it's a tough one, really, because Steve Nicol played left-back as well as right-back. Steve Staunton played there. Mark Lawrenson played there a couple of times. Loro, you know, because we had at the time had Gary Gillespie forged a partnership with Alan Hansen, and Loro, you know,
versatile,
Loro. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Really good player, Loro, wasn't he? Absolutely, and obviously Gary Ablett, you know, God rest his soul. Yeah. You know, Abbo was a really good left back, you know, and he's a great centre back for Everton, you know. So really tough that, you know. But looking at all them, you know, and for Liverpool at the time, you know, Stan was a young lad. I'd probably pump for Mark Lawrenson.
For Loro.
Because he was a fantastic player. Mm. Fantastic player. I couldn't put him in the best centre half side because I've got other ones in my mind, so I'd put Loro at left back.
Brilliant stuff. Mm-hmm. Aldo chooses Loro. Pat Vandenhout on the blue side of things. You can make your final decision online. It's the Radio City Legends Extra. So have a vote for who you'd like to be put in the team.
Right, good evening. The Giants are due to wake up in our city tomorrow, but we've woken them up a little bit early. John Aldridge and Graham Sharp for the Radio City Legends.
Woke up, yeah, with a bit of an headache this morning. After
have you?
No, we've been spoiled, haven't we? You know, I think we've been spoiled. Last night was... Well, it's... The worst performance I've seen is for some time, actually.
He's dived straight in there.
What's happened now? What have I done now?
See those headphones when they're around your neck like that?
What have I done?
You know that buzzing in your ear? Put them on your head.
Can you hear what?
Just put them on your head.
Yeah.
There we go. Go on, continue with your analysis of Liverpool's performance in Napoli.
I forget what I was saying now. really disappointing. Concerned.
Yeah?
Concerned, yep, with the... The three up front, we talked about it all season, have we? And they've just not been in form for whatever reason, mentally, physically, I don't know. You know, we've got top of the league, you know, we're top of the city now, but, you know, we've been defending really well. That's helped us a long way, where it's been the other way around in years gone by, especially last year. But yeah, going into the Man City game, you want to see a little bit of form, and obviously Mo Salah is just somewhere else when he's not on the football pitch. It's like watching a different player from last year. I'm waiting for him to get back in, get into his run and getting into his form, and it's just not happening up to now. Hopefully it'll all happen on Sunday, but Firmino the same. Mane, you know, looks more of a threat, but he's running into blind alleys at the time and just not clicking at all.
None of them had a shot on target last night.
Well, that was the most damning, you know, indicative of our performance, you know. Not one shot on goal. Didn't look threatening. I didn't think they really looked threatened, to be fair, but they always looked a bit that the team most likely to score, and I thought we got away with it with the worst performance. But going into City, I watched the City game, and the likes of Aguero's in form, Sterling's in and out, Mane looked... Sané. He looked very, very good, as well as Silva, who came on, and De Silva, who started. And just hopefully the atmosphere will get us up on Sunday and get us through, because it's a massive game. It's a game that you simply can't lose, because even at this early part of the season, if you get 3 points behind City and they beat you away from home on your patch. Psychologically, level, it'd be a big blow for
us. Big statement, isn't it?
It'd be a massive statement, yeah. So, you know, see, hopefully, you know, they can. It's a kick in the proverbial is what we might have needed, because we're where we are, but without playing as well as we think we are.
Well, the interesting point there is you two have spent weeks going, all of a sudden Liverpool are just going to explode and score loads of goals. Actually, yeah. they went the other way.
The other way, absolutely. Someone's going to get a hiding, yeah.
Yeah.
But I just think, you look at it in paper, and when the groups come out, you'd think, yeah, Liverpool will qualify. I still think Liverpool will qualify. Napoli, no, not. Ancelotti's went in there, obviously done a little bit of work there. I thought they passed the ball well without getting anywhere. And John Drake, they never really threatened and goal at a couple of occasions. But it wasn't a great Napoli side. You know, and I think that's a disappointing thing for Liverpool, is the fact that, you know, they didn't turn up on the night. They didn't put them under pressure. I thought the boy Koulibaly at the back for them was good.
Mm-hmm. But John's right. He was linked with Everton, wasn't he?
Yeah, but John's right, because the three up front, you know, couldn't get any change out of their back four. And let a game that was petering out for a 0-0, and Liverpool would have taken that all day with them playing not as well as they can do. But, you know, last minute goal, you know, nicks it for them. But I still don't think they'll get through in the group.
It's not a massive
concern. I said before, when the group ends, you want to try and be top to get yourselves, you know, in a position of where you'll get a so-called lesser side, hopefully. Mm. Where you come second, it can bite you. And that was an opportunity for us. Even in a draw, you know, would have been. It probably mean now the fact that we'll have to go to PSG to get a result, a draw or better to top the group. Because PSG, they'll beat them. They'll beat them. At least they'll get 4 points out of
them. Well, they've picked up their game, haven't they? They absolutely battered Red Star 6-1 last night.
Yeah, but did you see Red Star?
I know. Let's talk about that in the next two games.
Why has Jurgen come out and said that it was all his fault? What did he mean by that? Because this was virtually as strong a Liverpool team as you could get. So is he just trying to deflect attention, or did he do something wrong tactically, Jurgen Klopp?
A little bit of both, I think. I think tactically they got it right. Well, the first 20 minutes, we were all right. You know, we were okay. And then all of a sudden, he switched to like three at the back, Ancelotti. Mm. And all of a sudden, they started getting loads of pockets of space. And one thing I did notice, they put lots of balls in behind our full-backs, in between the full-backs and the centre-backs, in them areas for Insigne, who scored the goal, and the lad on the right hand. They had far too much time in the midfield areas when he changed his system to pick that pass out. And I'll tell you what, we defended really well because we held our line brilliantly and got them offside on more than a dozen occasions. Now, that never, ever happens because the team we play never get the chance to pick their head up and thread the ball through our back four. So he done that really well, Ancelotti. And in the end, that got him the goal. A little ball through there, a little cross. That's what he was trying to get us at. So you've got to give him credit for that. Mm. Our tactics weren't great, but our passing wasn't great. I don't think the movement up front was really poor. And we looked a little bit, I don't want to say tired, we talk about it all the time, we weren't tired, but we just didn't seem to, we looked a bit leggy.
There wasn't the energy in the play.
I think the honeymoon's over, bring it on. Right. Yeah.
Let's turn to Everton.
Hey, Everton Silverware's gone sharpie. Oh, come on, he started deflecting, get the callers to come in. Hey, Evertonians, come on, if you want to counter yourself, sharpie's here for your lads, you know.
Does Richarlison need some penalty lessons in the penalty stutter from Aldo?
Did you not see
Richarlison's penalty stutter?
It wasn't a stutter. I don't know what it was. It was a stupid jumping, running on the spot.
It was a little bit like a Johnny Wilkinson type of run, and then he stuttered. And thought, what are you doing? I don't know. He must do it that way, or if he takes penalties.
But he does it as well, Pogba. You know, this stupid running on the spot thing. Step up and hit it.
Six
you know,
yards.
The
just
boy's
Zuma
took his. You know, and you're thinking, oh, hold on a minute. Centre back taking a penalty.
Just smashed it.
Smashed it straight down the middle. Stupid jogger. This stupid thing to Charleston. Mm. Walcott missed one end. Doesn't matter. But
do you think if it had gone to extra time, you might have won it? I know it's in hindsight, it's irrelevant. No. But actually, you got a bit of momentum at the end of the game.
Yeah, because they pushed forward and then he had four up top, so you'd expect him to have a few chances. But overall, no, they were poor. I thought Southampton were the better team. I thought Southampton had the best player on the pitch, and the boy called Lamina.
And Danny Ings likes scoring against
Danny Ings, yeah, but
Everton,
he didn't give him a lot of chances.
He's
he took his goal well.
Side,
yeah, he took his goal well. But yeah. I thought the boy Lamina for them was great. And if you were to ask me, I'd get him tomorrow on what I saw the other night.
Who's that?
Lamina. Mm-hmm. Middle of midfield. I got him. Honestly, he was different class. He controlled it. And listen,
are you a bit gutted to go out that early doors of the competition?
You've got to be.
Yeah, I think Everton fans are gutted because, again, they'll come on and say slate the manager because he picked a so-called, in inverted commas here, weakened team. But in saying that, it's still players who have first team experience.
Capable of winning the game,
yeah, so, you know what, sometimes I can understand where they're coming from, but I still think the ones who were playing should have had a better account themselves.
Yeah, well, I've sold to a couple of Evertonians that know, and you know, without being in Europe, it was yeah. You could do with them games. And I just think, you know, with Sharpie talking on one, I think he should have gone. It's all right, nice sight saying. I just thought he should have gone. The top team. The goalkeeper should have been changed for one.
Yeah, what's the point in changing your keeper?
Even if you get to Wembley, it's a day out. I'm not saying, but it's an opportunity there to go. And it's only my opinion. I think Everton should have gone for it because there's two cups and they're fighting the way it looks to get into Europe. You know, so and you pay your best 11, but things happen.
Goalkeeper is an interesting one. You know,
is there any need to put Stecklenburg in for that game?
No, but
any need whatsoever. But has he promised it?
So what I'm saying is. What I'm trying to say, what is he there for?
What? Why is he at the club?
Yeah,
he's back up. He's
got a backup too. But Pickford's not tired.
But he's still one of those where he plays games in the reserves of the 23s. You know what I mean? Does he play in that?
He played when Neville was no one. Neville played every single game. Mm-hmm. Bruce played every single game. Yeah. Don't change it. You keep it. Don't. I can understand he needs to get a little bit of experience and all that. But a number two is a number two. You know. I don't know.
It's a good job having a number two in it, being a number two.
I tell you what,
it is, and you don't play. You don't play, don't you get paid the king's ransom?
It's a great job.
Get the same bonuses.
Yeah.
Let's pick the bones out of the Liverpool performance with our first call this evening on the Radio City Legends. You can see these boys are entertained by the conversation tonight because John Aldridge, Graham Sharp, and first up is Jamie, who wants to talk about that Reds performance. Evening, Jamie.
How are you, gents?
Hello, Jamie. All right.
Yeah, not too bad.
What did you make of it last night, Jamie?
It was disappointing. You know, I don't think it's time to press the panic button. But I just thought the lads looked a little bit leggy. You know, they've had a tough run of fixtures and it looked like it kind of caught up on them a little bit. It was more, I suppose, just a lack of cohesion with the front lads. It just didn't look like a very good side performance last night.
Didn't look a very Jurgen performance, no.
No, you're right. Absolutely spot on. It wasn't a Jurgen performance. The front three's it's a worry. They are a worry. All season they've been a worry, Jamie. And we're waiting for them to kick in. And it's just not... We're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And we've seen little signs. And then we're waiting and waiting. And for whatever reason... I just hope the manager knows. You know, with Mo, you just don't know because it's a mountain thing. Is something happened outside the game? Is it personal or this thing with Egypt? Is it really hurt him? I don't know, but certainly he for whatever reason, you know, and he's running on the pitch. He's still trying, and the three of them are still running and working hard. But for whatever reason, and when you lose your form and you lose your belief, now that's one thing I think he's lost a lot of, the belief in himself as well. But this thing, you know, the manager must have him in the room a few times and talk to him to find out. He must have had him to find out and get to the bottom of where it is because you just don't go from where he was to where he is at this present moment in time.
Oh, no, like he's overthinking things a little bit. You know when you're a little bit short?
Yeah.
Not playing on instinct. You know, you look at him last year, he was doing things without thinking. And it's even there, you know, you see him put in on his left, he opens his body up. That's the Salah finish. And he's rushing it, he's snatching at it.
He was never going to get 40,
45, 47 no. goals or whatever. That was never going to happen. But what you've got to say, it was all going to be harder. And whenever he gets the ball in and around that position on the edge of the 18-yard box, there's two or possibly three players all standing on his left foot, trying to force him on his right foot.
But, John, that's because they've done their homework.
That's right,
so,
absolutely.
So it's always going to be harder for Liverpool as a team this year, now that people know how they play and how they're going to... And so other opposition coaches will be just thinking, right, OK, let's tell you what we'll do. Let's try and stop the front three. Mm-hmm. Whatever we do, that's what we've got to do. And I know you're saying none of them have played this year kind of thing. It was never going to be easy for them. It was never going to be easy, you know, for to replicate what they did last year. Can they do it again? Of course they can do it again. But what I'm saying is it's getting harder for them now. Because teams now, as you quite rightly said, keep him off his left foot. We've seen what he's done before. So that's just part of football. That happens. You know, they don't become bad players overnight. What they do is that teams come and look and say, right, okay, this is how we can stop them now. And I think Ancelotti is one of the best at doing it. You know, and he's looked at Liverpool and he'd been working at it and saying, right, okay, blah, 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 this is the way we were going to play. And as John said before, the way they were finding little spaces down the sides. So sometimes you've got to take your hat off and say, they've done his here in terms of the way they set up tactically, and you know, and you look to say blaming Jurgen Klopp, but when they do that as well, because sometimes you've got to take your hat off to the opposition. Yeah, Liverpool didn't play great, but sometimes you just got to say, well, you know, they worked us out a little bit there, so it's not going to happen every week. But
that's right. The one thing I will say to counteract it a little bit is the fact whenever we got into them spaces or we were hitting them on the break, they run into players. The three of them were running to players or passing it to their players, or it was just going through to the keeper. Whereas last year, they'd make something up. When it was possible for them to make a chance or create a chance or have a shot, they're making mistakes, like schoolboy errors. And I'm going, what? That's not like you. That's not like you. And that's not, certainly not like you. And that's the worry where it goes. Because teams, right, it's going to be more difficult because what they did last night, they pressed us high at the park. They pressed us in midfield and they'd done it. They had a lot of energy. They'd really worked the socks off and they'd done it really well. And that made it frustrating and hard for us. But when we did, which we are going to do at times, get the players into them positions, them three up front, like Manny was going past the player. And I'm saying, keep on going. And he goes back and gives him another chance, like Pat Nevin used to do when you know from on the wing. I meant Pat, you know what I mean? Just keep on going, cut across him, he's out the game, go on to the back four. But once he got in front of him, he came back. I'm thinking, what's that all about?
So the point you're making is all three of them are essentially struggling, aren't they?
They're all struggling with the form.
I know the focus is saying Mo, isn't it? Jamie, can you see it sort of turning a corner quickly?
I don't think it's anything to panic about, and I think, you know, with the game that we've got at the weekend, it might in a way, because to be honest, we've not been playing at full throttle and we've just been finding ways to get results.
Yeah, that's right.
So I think it might serve as a bit of a rumpus with the backside, you know, to get the lads backfiring on all cylinders. And what a perfect fixture to have at the weekend in Man City, because they know they can't afford to knock against Man City because they'll finish us. So in a way, it's you know, the next fixture can't come quick enough, and they can kind of right the wrongs of last night.
Yeah,
I just think of the Man City game as well. Man City can't defend. They can't change. You know, the way they play. He plays in that way. He's not going to say, right, going to set up defensively and make sure we shackle the front three. The way they play, if Liverpool are going to go at it, Liverpool will get chances again on Saturday without a shadow of a doubt, and they'll score against Man City. So it's not a case of Man City will set up like Ancelotti did last night and say, right, OK, we'll try and do it. They'll just go and play.
They played the same time.
And then if you're looking at Liverpool to get back scoring, this is an ideal fixture for them.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Could be absolutely perfect. Jamie, we'll leave it there. The phone line's a little bit awkward, but we'll talk to you in the future. Thank you, mate. There we go. Jamie, first caller on the Radio City Legends tonight. 0151 4720967, 4720967. John Aldridge, Graham Sharp, whatever you want to talk about. I think we're on to the Blues next and that League Cup defeat. But of course, what lies at the weekend is important now, and that game with Leicester. So we'll talk about that in a moment. Graham Sharp, John Aldridge in the studio. What's tickling you, boys?
No, don't
worry about it. 10 to 7. I'm Steve Hovis, Radio City Legends. Give us a shout, 4720967. We've an England squad name to go. We'll get to our next call in a moment or two to talk Everton. But today's England squad for the Nations League games against Croatia and
Spain.
Steve, we're not interested in that, are we?
No, I was just gonna name the local players that are involved.
Oh, that's fair enough. Yeah, okay, that's all right. Yeah.
Obviously, Jordan Pickford, Trent, Joe Gomez. Looking down the list, Jordan Henderson's also in there, and I think that about makes it up. Just one interesting stat: only 9 of the players have scored for England. It's not many, is it? It looks like he's changed quite a bit for those.
Yeah, he's doing a good job, to be fair.
And he's got a new contract himself. Right, let's talk Everton. Our next caller on the Radio City Legends tonight to perhaps look ahead to the weekend but reflect on that League Cup defeat is Dan. Evening, Dan.
Evening, gents. You okay?
Hi, Dan. Hello, Dan.
Graham, Tuesday, I just said it'd be earlier. I mean, 7 changes. There's no reason to be making changes. You know, we haven't won a trophy for over 20-odd years and he's making change. I mean, you touched on it before, I heard you before.
Was it 7?
Yeah, it was.
Changes.
And yet on Monday night, we talked about his comment where he said he wasn't going to change many players. He said that in the pre-match press conference.
Yeah.
But also, as well, is up front, we're lacking.
Yeah.
You know, I feel sorry. Tosin's working, you know, he's working hard and, you know, obviously he scored a cracking header against Fulham. Obviously, well, he couldn't miss it, really, but, you know, his confidence is lacking at the minute. But even on Tuesday, I don't know, Schneiderlin and Davis are just going backwards and sideways all the time. We were missing that energy. I mean, Davis, the best of times, to me, his stamina runs out, I think, towards the end of the game anyway. And he just looked, I don't know, he looked leggy on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And we could think it was crying out for, you know, all right, you know, he made the second substitutions and obviously Walcott paid off. But you were just missing that energy and the snapping midfield, which Garner can give you.
Yeah, I think it's spot on. I think, you know, I think I just said to the boys before, I think the best player was in the Southampton side. And he was the one that was dictating midfield. And I think you're spot on. I think when missing somebody that can take it from front to back, you know, I think you're spot on with the two holding midfield players. Everything's square. And back, nothing's like, you know, first touch, get out your feet and look forward. Everything's like just a case of going back to the Martinez area of passing it for the sake of passing it. Sometimes you've got to take a chance as midfield players, and I think that's what we're lacking. Now, you'd like to think that, I don't know how far away he is from fitness, that the boy Gomez might give us something like that, you know, when he's fit, if he's fit. But I agree with you. I think, you know, at times it's too slow. It's too slow building up and they get back and defend and then they break on us. But listen, I think it was disappointing. We all were looking forward to having a decent run in the competition. But I agree with you. I didn't realise it was 7. I thought it was less than that. But 7 changes, he's always going to come in for criticism on that, but making as many changes. But even in saying that, the players that played should have coped better than what they did. I think.
Yeah, it was a good enough squad you know, to beat them. I was just thinking, and touching on Saturday, obviously we've got Leicester away.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt sorry for Bernard as well. He was always looking for the forward ball and there was nothing there again.
Yeah.
You know, would you not start with Charlison as the central role? Put Bernard on the left and have Walcott on the right. You know, it's perfect, you know, nothing else is working.
Yeah.
Calvert-Lewin's not the answer. And the ass was falling over his own feet again on Tuesday.
I just think at times, I don't know honestly whether Richarlison's played that position, would he be comfortable playing it?
He scored 2 for Brazil.
He did. You know, which, as I said, the Premier League's a little bit different. But if he's comfortable doing it, you know, why not? Because I think the little boy Bernard gives you a little bit of invention. You know, I think he's...
I think
he's, you know, everybody looks at him and he's small. But I think he's a clever footballer. He put one ball through, I think it was in the first half or maybe in the second half. I think, you know, great through ball. That's what we need. We need somebody to create chances. We can't just expect our chances to come from wide players. You know, we've got a central player who's looking to slip a pass down the side. You know, and I think Gomez may give you that, but I don't think, you know, Schneiderlin and Davis is holding midfield players give us that threat going forward. You know, that we need, because sometimes it's easy when you're playing with Walcott one side, and you know the back four are easy to, they're happy with that defending in front. Sometimes you need a little bit of invention. I think we're lacking invention in the middle of the pitch.
He's got it, hasn't he? I like that. Bernard, just saying, Dan, Bernard, you know, when you look at players, you think, like him.
Yeah.
Proper player. Mm. You know, he's got great balance, you know, great technique. And I was funny because we were talking a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, like, if I'm looking from the outside, Richarlison down the middle, Walker, him either on the left or
or just in behind, or just in that little hole in behind, would give Everton better balance and more creativity.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Just in terms of the fixture itself, so obviously Aldo said before, with Liverpool playing Man City, it's a great indicator. Is it similarly so for Everton, considering Leicester, Everton, are they sort of aiming for the same finishing point of the season? Is this a good indicator as to where they should be?
I'm just saying I just think that Everton are still in transition at the moment. Leicester
are up and running, aren't
Leicester they? Leicester are more settled, you know, with the team they've got. I just think at Everton at the moment, I don't know whether we know what our best team is. You know, we're talking about Tosin and Bernard and Richarlison or whatever. Yeah. I just think that we're still... I think our back four, I don't know what the situation with Seamus Coleman, if he misses, but I think Dania will come back in at left back. I think it's important that we sort that back four and goalkeeper out, which we will do. It'll give us a better opportunity. But certainly in front of that, I still don't know if he knows what his best 11 is.
And do you know when Meaney gets back fit? What do you think the outcome's going to be there? Is it going to be three at the back?
Possibly.
I think Zouma and Keane are outstanding at the minute, to be fair.
I think Zouma was excellent the other night as well, but I said that before. Yeah. I think that they may well look at playing a three. We'd be Coleman on one side and Dania on the other side.
Yeah,
bombing on, so you may well do that. But, you know, as I said, we keep saying it's early days and we'll wait and see, but we need to start getting results and picking up results and picking up performances. And as I said, certainly being more inventive from the centre of the field.
Yeah, we can get 3 points at Leicester on Saturday. Yeah. That'd be a great win because, as you say, they're settled, they're playing some good football. Mm. The boy Maddison, obviously, I think he's just gotten the call up to the England squad. You know, there's another player we were linked with in the summer, which we never went and got.
Yeah, good football.
Nice one, Dan. Yeah. Thank you very much
indeed.
Cheers, Dan. Cheers.
Great points, mate. Radio City legends. It's 7 o'clock. John Aldridge, Graham Sharp. Let's switch our attention back to Liverpool. Next caller is Kiva. Welcome to the show, Kiva.
Hello, good evening.
Hi, Kiva.
Hi, Kiva.
What's on your mind tonight?
I was just going to say, obviously, we were all disappointed with the result last night. I think personally, I can't remember the last time we played that with that level of lethargy. I think probably Swansea away is the game that comes into my mind, away in the league last year. I think a point would have been great, but then I'm thinking the San Paolo is obviously a notoriously difficult place to go. Almost reminiscent of Anfield, how the crowd can almost win the game for you, and I feel like that's sort of what happened. We just didn't turn up, and although I feel like that, I feel like I'm still confident we'll advance in the group. We've got Red Star Belgrade, home and away, so hopefully we'll pick up maximum points from that. And then now, of course, with the Giants in Liverpool this weekend, and I think, you know, the Premier League champions are coming as well, and we've definitely got to, this has got to kick-start us now, and I think defeat often does that.
Yeah. I think the one thing that could really harm us regarding the Champions League, if Napoli was to come to Anfield and beat us, really, that would turn it upside down, because we got a hard game to contend with in Paris, obviously. But I'd like to think we can do them. If we do them, then there's not a problem through. Try and double. You want to get 4 points minimum Red Star. Hopefully six. If we're playing the way we are at the moment, it could be four. You know, but you know, you'd like to think we get six there. You beat Napoli at home, it's all done and dusted. It's all about going to Paris to get a draw to. No, to probably get first in the group. So put that to bed. But you know what we said before, Kiva, is the league now. You're all right. It's the two giants in it at the moment, first and second. And let's hope it is the little bit of a reminder we needed to get back to where we were last year.
And even if it isn't the result that we don't want, we'd only be 3 points with a loss. You know, off the top,
it'd be a big loss.
You know, yeah,
maybe to lose by Man City, I think psychologically, massive blow.
Especially
do you think
I really do. I just feel I'm looking at Manchester City. You know the way they play, and they're starting to get into a groove, aren't they? They've only hiccuped once against Wolves, and I'm looking. They're not going to drop many points. I know they've not played any of the big sides. I just feel you've got to match them, and to try. I'm not saying we're going to win the league. It's a big ask. Because there's so many points to make up from last year, but if you're going to get there and you've got to go for the best, you've got to go for the top, you've got to try and take 4 points out of Manchester City. You've got to try, hopefully six, which is really, really tough. If you get 3 points each, then the likelihood is they won't slip up as many times as we. That's the way I see it at the moment, you know, because They, I think, which me and Sharpie know, we've said, you know, and you mentioned it tonight, Gray, is their defence isn't the best. Mm. And that's the... But going forward, they're ridiculous. And I just can't see them slipping up too many times like they did last year. So it's going to be tough.
That's what I was going to ask as well. Mm. Obviously, you're both brilliant strikes in your day, Graham and John. Do you think... I feel like our front three haven't clicked quite yet. And do you think the defence being so solid is better than it has been in many a year? I think that has an almost psychological effect on the strikers, thinking, you know, because they're making the runs, as you say. Salah was running everywhere last night. It just wasn't happening, and it hasn't happened so far. But do you think they're thinking, you know, we have got a really good defence, we can actually not score as many goals and get away with
it?
I don't think so, Kevin. I'd be surprised if that's the case. You know, and I just think that Liverpool are strong. And I disagree a little bit with John in terms of, listen, it's important not to lose at the weekend. But I think if Liverpool did lose, I still think there's enough games and points and board over the season that, you know, it's not a disaster. But I think that, the three lads up front, as I said to somebody before, you know, they were brilliant last year. You know, there's going to be a stage, you know, and it just unfortunately for Liverpool at the moment, according to like John and all Liverpool fans, it's happened at the one time where the three of them are off. It's usually just one that's off. Yeah. It's the three of them that are off. So, you know, that's probably the disappointing thing. But, I've got no worries. Sharpie, they'll be back.
Let's have a look. Who's got the best starting 11? Let's do a combined one. So the keepers.
Between Man City and Liverpool?
Man City and Liverpool.
Well, I'll keep it.
So Edison or Alisson?
I'd say the goalkeeper Liverpool.
So Alisson's in the team. Yeah. All right. Right back, Cal Walker or Trent?
I would probably say Walker just for his experience, but I think Trent is close.
Yeah. Leave that to later. Go on.
Yeah, all right. Kiva, do you dispute that, Kiva? Would you go Trent?
I'm going Trent. All right.
Centre-halves, obviously, they've got Vincent Kompany.
It's Kompany and Van Dijk, isn't it?
Kompany and Van Dijk have to make it, all right.
Even though Gomez has been fantastic, you know, just...
Those two are unbelievable. You don't disagree with that, do you? Kompany and Van Dijk?
Kompany.
Ooh. Would you put Joe Gomez in?
No.
All right, left back.
There's only one left back by a million miles, and that's Robertson.
Mendy.
You're just being naughty now, aren't you?
I don't even think Mendy's playing, is he?
All right, let's get into midfield. So if you're Man City, you've got Gundogan, Fernandinho and Silva. So Silva's got to be in there, hasn't he?
Yeah.
All right, who else makes up your midfield? James Milner?
Yeah,
into underperformance.
He would have to be, wouldn't he?
Underperformance,
all right, Milner. Yeah. And the third midfielder?
Who have we got? Gundogan?
Well, if you want Liverpool, you've got Henderson.
Behave.
Do you need Wijnaldum?
Wijnaldum, probably, for me, yeah.
Gundogan.
Yeah, Wijnaldum for me, I think.
Wijnaldum for me.
So who is it?
Wijnaldum for me, yeah.
Oh, but you're outvoted.
There's a bias, that's why.
Well, that's all right, Kevin knows a football. Right, and we're going up front now. I'll give you Man City.
Sané, Sterling. And
Aguero
gets in.
Sané. I'm not putting the other one in personally, but if Graham wants to put him in, he can.
So who are you putting in?
I'm not putting him in.
Sturridge.
Sturridge, great shout. Well done, mate. Sturridge, absolutely. Yeah. No, it's me.
Mane.
There, yeah.
Mane.
No.
All right, so you'll put any of them.
I put
Sturridge.
I put Sturridge. He's been our best player this season.
Yeah, you're talking about the ones in form at the moment.
All right, our combined team then is Alisson in goal, Walker, Kompany, Virgil van Dijk, Robertson, Silva, Milner, Gini Wijnaldum. Outvotes.
No,
on
I'm not having that one.
Sane, Aguero and Sturridge.
Yeah, that's it.
Sane, Aguero.
More or less. How many Liverpool
players?
No,
I'm not having that either, let me tell you.
Six Liverpool players there. Must mean Liverpool are going to win.
No. Scottish can't even get in your team and he's in that team.
Kiva, thank you very much indeed.
Cheers, love, good call.
Cheers.
Very good indeed.
How's he getting that team? He can't get in your team.
Because we fixed it, it's three reds against you. 6 minutes past seven, it's Radio City and Radio City Talk. It's Radio City Legends with John Aldridge and Graham Sharp. More of your calls next, plus pens. Our quiz is back. That is John Aldridge, Graham Sharp. It's time for a bit of pens. In fact, just before we get there, you boys interested in the Giants being in the city?
I think it's brilliant.
Sorry?
New York,
no. Proper Giants.
Yeah.
Big ones.
Fabulous.
Spectacle,
isn't it?
Yeah. Everyone's queuing down there at St. George's when we came in. So there's one sleeping in there.
Fabulous, yeah. It's nice, isn't it? Really, it's great for the city, yeah. You know, for the city to hold out, it is a great spectacle. And it's going to be rammed the weekend, isn't it, the 3 days.
How long has this been going on?
The Giants?
Yeah.
Just about the fourth time, isn't it?
Is it 4 years?
I don't know the answer to that, but that could be a quiz question for you.
No, leave it.
We've added a few variations in pens today.
After the last one, you should add a lot more because Sharpie, that was a plant. the easiest question in the world.
It's true. I think he saw the sheet.
4-1.
I told Christian that both of you had great musical knowledge, so we've expanded the music category.
No. Oh, music.
Yeah. Mm. You like your music?
I do, but I'm very forgetful. Steve.
Right, all right. 4-1.
All right, let's go.
Let John go first this time.
All right. I've shuffled them around, so it isn't 5 and 6.
Okay. So, are we...
So, you always say... No, if you choose the number, you get that question. Right, if it's two mystery voices, you get two mystery voices.
We've done it.
Yeah?
Whatever. We'll give it a go.
Go on.
Me? Yeah. Number one.
All right, number one. It's 25 years since Team USA last won on European soil in the Ryder Cup.
Oh, dear me.
Who captained the Americans to
25
victory?
Years ago?
25 years?
That's a just guess. Tom Watson.
25 years ago, Tom Watson.
John Aubrey's in a great position, and Liverpool have scored!
Whoa!
That's a plant.
Get in!
Oh,
it's
Johnny, Johnny Aldridge.
Tell you what, I'm
what an inspired answer there.
Three.
Graham Sharp.
Three.
It's a mystery voice. I'm going to have to shift it up on my computer so we've got it properly. Here we go. This is dead easy.
Oh, here he goes again.
Dead easy. Right, mystery voice. Graham Sharp.
Your attitude you need to improve.
I think that might be Brendan.
Your attitude you need to improve.
You going for?
Yeah, Brendan Rodgers.
It's a good one of you. I couldn't get that.
Lovely first touch, right footy volley. Brilliant goal by Graham Sharp. First blood to the Blues down at the Anfield Road end. And an absolute classic from Graham Sharp.
Yeah, bit of Brendan going on there.
I wouldn't have got that one.
Where are you
going
to go, John?
I'll go six.
Number six. Right, in which song would you find these lyrics? Okay, which song would you find these lyrics? Old Ebenezer thought he was Julius Caesar.
Yeah, old Ebenezer.
So they put him in a home.
Will you stop talking? Man? I know. It's Lily the Pink.
Ebenezer thought he was Julius Caesar.
That's Robbie singing.
That apparently is singing.
Yeah. That's me, yeah.
That's John Aldridge.
I've done that when I've done Eurostar, man, yeah.
Oh,
you should get a point off for this.
He's choking now.
I'm nearly choking.
Number four.
Were they good old days, your singing career?
Dear me, that was funny.
How easy was that for him?
Hey, he chose the question.
Yeah, he's singing.
I didn't tell him it was number six.
He's the artist as well.
All right, number four. Who was the only player to miss a penalty in Liverpool's Champions League final against AC Milan? So, Sharpie, who is the only player to miss a penalty in Liverpool's Champions League final against AC Milan?
Got it. Got it, yeah.
Think through. Come on, throw one out there.
Yeah, I'm struggling.
Who do you think the penalty takers were? Didi Haman was one. Gibril Cissé was
Alonso.
Another.
Risa.
It was John Arne Riise.
I was going to see Riise as well.
Could say, wasn't it?
Oh, there you go. John's 2-1 up. This could be the winner.
Who took the penalty and missed it and scored the rebound?
That was Alonso in real
time, though, wasn't it? That was in real time. That was
right,
the,
okay, but if I'd have said Alonso, that was right. He missed the penalty, didn't he?
Yeah, penalty shootout.
Oh, you never said that?
Yeah, well, that was the question.
What chance have you got?
I'll have number two.
Oh, that's proper Scottish arguing there, isn't it? Right, number two. There we go.
Mystery voice.
Oh, no, you've got another song. Can you name this 80s song or artist? Producer Christian's gone a bit crazy
with that,
I think.
What was that? Can you
hear
it again?
All right.
Yeah, easy.
I think he's played it backwards. Have you really got it?
No. Is that Susie Quattro?
I tell you what.
No.
Not a Scooby-Doo.
You look at that. That's right in the ankle. Horrible little man that is, I tell you.
Yeah, no, that was Robert Palmer, Addicted to Love.
Oh, come on, you've got to have a little bit more than that.
Hi.
I like that song as well.
Is this for an equaliser?
Oh, this is...
Yeah, 2-0, mate, yeah.
Right, which football club did Nicholas...
What's happened to Mystery Voice?
Yeah, yeah, I've got another one there. Which...
Hey, it's a less question.
My, oh, what's funny is actually our producer Christian's put a Mystery Voice in there, but... Oh, it's the final one. It's the... If you equalise, basically, we've got a Mystery Voice to decide who the winner is.
No, now he tells us. Make the rules up as well.
Which football club did Nicholas Alexanderson join Everton from in the year 2000? Which football club, Sharpie?
Ah, oh, no. Sharpie, come on. No. I know that. Come on, mate.
Nicholas Alexanderson.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Sheffield Wednesday.
Oh! What a goal! Oh! He's come back from the brink again. Oh, I can't 2-2. Believe it.
All right, shoot out. Bit like Everton midweek, this, no, isn't it?
No.
Back.
He's good at the Mystery Voice. I'm crap. He's good at it. I can see
just
it already.
Listen.
I'm going to take a draw.
John, listen hard.
I want to take a draw.
Hold on, is it first one in, and if he gets it wrong, that he's only had one guess?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Is that the way we do it, Jesus Christian?
First one in.
Okay. And it. Right, all right, get ready to shout the answer. Who is this Mystery Voice?
He's sitting down, it's one of those.
It's a draw.
Do you not know it?
No.
He's gone down.
Right, I've got another one. I've got another question otherwise.
Hear it again.
Is it that again?
Can I hear it once more?
Just gone.
I thought that was really easy. Hang on. One more time.
He's sitting down, it's one of those. It's like, just gone down.
Grushy.
No. No.
No idea.
Bit of a tall order, this one.
Who was it?
Peter Crouch.
Yeah, but you can't have that.
Yes!
No, that was giveaway. We're going on to the next question. Next tiebreak question. Thomas Bjorn captains Europe at Le Golf National, but how many times did he represent Europe as a player? So one of you can choose a number and the other one can go higher or lower.
4.
Okay, do you want to go higher or lower, John?
I will go... I'll go higher.
Dan.
Higher than 4. No! Is it lower?
Oh, John.
Is it lower?
It's lower, it's 3. Sharpie's come back from the dead. He's just got a punch in the ribs there as well. Oh, that was one of the most drawn out games of pens we've ever had.
That was good. That was a good game, though, wasn't it?
Did you like that?
Yeah, that was the best game.
I like your singing career. Right, let's just squeeze in a couple more callers before we get to the end. Radio City Legends. We're going to talk Everton now with Jimmy and West Derby. Evening, Jim.
Hi, you lads.
Hi,
hello, Jim.
Graham, the first call has probably stolen all my thunder. Like, but why on earth did we change it on Tuesday? No, we won 3-0 on Saturday. Just carry on the momentum, go into the game, maybe 1 or 2. I seen that team on Saturday, on Tuesday, Bowell, Schneiderlin and Tom Davis in the field. I just knew we weren't going to As you said, that the last one, he just ran the show.
Yeah, he was different class. But no, you're right, I didn't realise at the time or tonight it was 7 changes. Just going over it again, it's right, and it is a lot of changes. What the manager will say is that team he put out should have been good enough to get a result, but when I looked at the Southampton team, I thought the Southampton team were better. Better in the first half especially. Then, okay, when we have to go for it a little bit, we make the changes and we're more attack-minded, but I just think that, as I said to the previous caller as well, which I just think that we'd lack one creative player in the middle of the park. You know, I think Sigurdsson, when he plays, can do that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Graham. Drop Sigurdsson back and put Luchman in the hole.
Yeah.
Because he looked good the other day. I can't understand why he took him off.
Yeah, I don't know whether it was tiredness or whatever kind of thing. Until you have World Cup, maybe a little bit more pace and directness going down that side. But he did okay, Luchman. He did okay. Yeah. I thought Bernard looked okay. But I just think, again, it's we look at the problems and we look at, you know, it's still early doors yet. But I still think that what he's playing, whether he needs to play 2 holding midfield players and Schneiderlin and Davis, I'd like to see one of them being more creative. Whoever it might be in that role, somebody who's a little bit more creative and whether...
I,
Graham, I think Davis and Calvert-Lewin need a season in the championship. Good season.
I think what you've got to look, Jim, as well, with the young lads, you know, the pressure's on the pressure's on them as well. It's intense. You know, when you're at Goodison and things aren't going well, and you know, you've got to be able to handle that. And sometimes it can be a little bit intense and then sometimes need taken out. But, you know, look at Jonjo Kenny, and I thought Jonjo did well the other night. You know, he's done okay.
He's been playing very well, Jonjo. I think he should stay there for those.
Yeah, he's done.
Before Seamus got injured, he wasn't playing well. I know he's coming back from a serious injury, but he wasn't the player that we all know and love.
Yeah.
He just looked completely off the pace.
I just think, Jim, listen, I think it's still going to take a little bit of time to settle down. I can understand people's frustration with the seven changes, but as the manager said, he still thought that the seven changes, even talking about the seven changes, we should have been better than what we were. We should have been better than what we were. And I thought Southampton and the boy in particular busted the midfield and made them tick a little bit.
I think that's alarming, though. It's like, seven games into the season.
Mm-hmm.
And we're already talking about the transfer window in January. I think that's really depressing.
Well, I think, he's got these players. We've got to see the boy Mina. We've got to see the boy Gomez. Hopefully that's sooner rather than later. And let's then decide then, you know, what we think and who's for this and who's for that and who's for the chop and who we're going to sign. I think January is important as well. I think he'll need to add another striker.
I don't think you get a top-class player in January. No. That's the thing.
That's a problem.
Yeah. I think we missed a trick when, I've been saying for a while, when we sold Lukaku to United, I think we should have just said a straight swap at Rashford.
Rashford, yeah. See, he's one. You know, he's the one that you're looking at now, and you're looking at him on the periphery of things at Manchester United. I would take him all day.
I would have. I agree. I think he's really great.
But I just think
him up front with Richarlison on one side and Bernard on the other.
Yeah,
we'd have a good scene.
Yeah, but you just look at Manchester United at the moment, and you don't know what's happening there. So I'd imagine they'd be very, very, very reluctant to do anything there.
I've said we've missed a trick now.
Yeah,
they'd never sell him. When we had Lukaku, we should have just said a straight swap.
Yeah,
yeah or no, take it or leave it.
Yeah, true.
Great points, Jim. Thank you very much indeed.
Cheers, Jim. Cheers, pal.
Thank you for everyone who's called tonight. I'm sorry we couldn't squeeze a few more in. I think that game of pens went on a bit too long. Boys, we did reflect on the fact that the Messi was sensational yesterday. I know you didn't both see it all, but I did show you Rakitic's goal.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Barca have only won the Champions League once in 7 years. Does that surprise you?
Beat United at Wembley, didn't they?
It does, yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed that final, actually, when they played United. It was a great final.
Oh, they beat United at Wembley, didn't they?
Yeah, it's great, yeah.
Messi scored the header.
It's what?
No, it was Man United.
Man United, Rooney played when Messi scored the header. Was it 2-0?
That wasn't the Wembley header, was it?
Was it Wembley, wasn't it? I'm sure it was Wembley.
Just getting you a Champions League. But list of Champions League finals. Here we go. I'll tell you. So last year, Real Madrid, year before Madrid, and Madrid the year before that. 2014, Barca, they beat Juventus 3-1. And then you'd have to go back to 2010-11 when Barca beat Manchester United at Wembley.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they've won it twice in 8 years. Yeah.
You'd expect them to be knocking on the door a little bit more, wouldn't you?
You would at the moment. Mm. Right, looking ahead to the weekend then. Everton.
Leicester,
back on track.
Well, they've got to be. You know, they've got to go down there. They've got to deal with Vardy and his pace. The boy Maddison's a good player. Whether they can do that. Listen, if they turn up, what I want to see is an away performance where they turn up and show a little bit of guts and, you know, and a desire. If they do that, they've got a chance of getting something from the game.
And Liverpool against Man City's historically in the last few years been one to watch, hasn't it?
Yeah, been brilliant. It will be again. Instant response you want. You know, it's going to be a great game. Whatever happens, you know, we said it before, two managers, the way they play football, it's one not to miss. I'm sure both teams will score. Let's hope we get the one more than them.
Is it half 12?
No, it's half four.
Half four,
yeah.
With the Giants as well. That'll be interesting one.
Everything on that.
Yeah, the city, yeah.
Boys, you are released. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks for their company tonight. Quick update. Arsenal beating Carabag at the moment 2-0. Chelsea have made 8 changes for their late kickoff in the Europa League. Celtic are losing to Salzburg 2-1 at the moment. Thanks for your company on the Radio City Legends. It will be back on Monday evening to reflect on the weekend's action. I'll be back on Radio City Talk from 7 a.m. tomorrow morning with the kickoff. Loads on there, including all the build-up to the big matches that matter at the weekend. But thanks for joining the Radio City Legends tonight. See you next week.